I'll be reading from 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 8. 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 8 through 25. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miraculous and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Israel, his covenant, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever. The word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant that he had made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. When you are few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another, people, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations. His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. Let's say our scriptural declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice.
All right. So if you do have your Bibles, just go ahead and leave those open, or your scripture apps, go ahead and leave those open, because we will be kind of referring back to this First Chronicles passage that Paul just read. And thank you, Paul. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, everyone. Eric and Tiffany, thank you for your part in the service so far. So I just want to tell you a little bit. Today's title here is kind of, as you go through these next couple of slides, you can see that gratitude changes you, and that's kind of the idea that I want to convey and get across to you, but it just doesn't change you alone, it changes others as well. And so if you do kind of have your Bibles there open, keep them there in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8 through 25, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But before we do all of that, I want to ask you guys a big favor, and they're going to kill me for this, but I have some very close friends that are here from Bryan College Station, and tomorrow is John's birthday. Yeah, see, he's already shaking his head like, I want to hurt you in the worst way. But look, if it was just John's birthday, I promise we would just skip right over it. I mean, it would be done. Never mentioned. But Monday is his birthday. His wonderful wife, Kathy, is with him today. John Collier and Kathy Collier are folks that pastor a church in the Bryan College Station area. Their church and others like it helped to start this church. And you know probably some folks from their church as you've gone to the ladies' retreat and that kind of thing. But Monday is John's birthday, and Tuesday is Kathy's birthday. And here's the deal. If they were at home at their home church, they would have happy birthday sung to them. They'd probably have a birthday cake, right? But the least we could do is sing happy birthday to them, right? Okay, so we're going to sing happy birthday. And when it comes to that part that everybody kind of fumbles over, you're going to say, happy birthday, dear John and Kathy. Okay? It's both of them. We're not going to sing it twice. We're going to sing it once. We're going to throw them both in there. But it's an honor to have you guys. I know that you're here to perform a wedding this afternoon, and that speaks highly that folks want you to come and be a part of their wedding, their special day. He's a great guy. One of the things that he is doing is he's going around to a lot of our affiliated churches and being a blessing and helping them. He also has a big hand in a number of churches there in the Bryan-College Station area, just really finding the right people to be pastors, which is a big deal. Because if that doesn't work out well, it can really hurt a pastoral ministry as well as the pastor and his family. And so John's doing a lot of work, kingdom work, and we appreciate him. And so John and Kathy, can y'all wave at everybody real quick? Justin, let you know, this is who they are. Those are the folks that have the scowl on their face, and John's like, we're going to hurt you. And I get it, but that's okay. So let's, okay, man, I really should have, before we dismiss the ladies, to sing this, but let's give it a try. Ready? One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear John and Kathy, both of you. Happy birthday to you. Let's hear it for them. God bless you guys for the work that you do. And poor Kathy, I mean, I tell you what, aren't you still in the nursing field as well? I mean, talk about two different things that just draw so much from you, and you have to give so much. She's in the nursing field as well as the pastor's wife, and that is a tough time and tough thing. So we respect what you do and know that that's a lot of the time behind the scenes. So God bless you guys for that. All right, so let's just tell real quick, I want to mention something. A number of you guys were here yesterday as we had a memorial service for Patricia Robertson's brother who passed. And man, we're just continuing to stand with you. We know it's a difficult time, but yesterday, thank you if you were able to come and be here and be a support. It was really a special day. It was a beautiful thing. We know it was a difficult circumstances surrounding his passing, but we do know this. I love what you said, Patricia. And by the way, I'm worried now. You were, like, such a good speaker. I was like, my job's in jeopardy. Like, not just from Peter, but also from you. Like, this is rough, you know. Y'all pray for me. I got to get better. but you said, you know, ultimately, like, your brother found purpose. And it was so meaningful and touched me so much. And I appreciated your words. Your ability to stand and speak about that was, I'm sure, a difficult thing. We stand with you. We know that just because the memorial services are over, it doesn't mean the pain has stopped. So you guys just continue to pray for Patricia and her family. Will you all do that for me? Will you all do that? Okay, God bless you guys. And also one other thing, I just want to kind of continue to give you updates. John Atkinson was able to be with us a couple of Sundays ago, but yet his physical strength is declining. And so we want to just make sure that we're praying for them and not just him, but them. And John, if you're watching, God bless you. Mindy, God bless you. We're with you, and we know that it's a difficult time right now, but let's continue to pray for John and continue to be with them and stand by them as they go through this really difficult cancer diagnosis and that kind of thing. So thank you, guys. All right. So let's shift gears here, and let's go on to where we are. Let me share this with you, and this is so interesting to me. This is an article that I found about how gratitude changes you and your brain. So literally, it talks in this article that I found about how gratitude as a lifestyle begins to rewire your brain. It's not just simply an act, and once it's done, it's, you know, rewiring everything. But if you begin to incorporate gratitude into your lifestyle, as God would have us to do, I mean, how many times is He encouraging us in His Word to praise the Lord, you know? And I mean, it's just constant because we need to be lifting Him and worshiping Him and putting Him as above all other things in our lives. And when we begin to be grateful not only for what He's given us in our life, but also for who He is, it begins to change us and even begins to rewire our brain. Now, I want to just make sure that you understand, this is not a church website. This is a normal, non-religious website who are telling you basically what God's Word has been telling you from the beginning. It's always been about being grateful and how it will change us if we will be grateful and have gratitude for the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. And so let me just share a couple of things that science is telling us, okay? So here's what we know. It says that there was a lack of negative emotions in the letters that these people were writing. So let me explain what that means. There were three different groups of people, some that were allowed to just give full vent to their complaints and their frustrations, others that were trying to focus on those things that they were grateful for. But then that third group in this controlled study was asked to write down those things that they were actually grateful for. You guys understand the difference? So there's one that's just full vent to their feelings, second that's kind of focusing on their feelings of positivity, but then this third group is asked to actually go that extra mile and begin to write down and to rehearse in their own mind to the point of even being able to write the words for what they are grateful for. And when that third group was studied, they literally put them in an MRI machine. Do any of you guys have a problem with an MRI machine like I do? I mean, I want the open MRI. You know, I don't want the one that's like this close to me. And I'm like, great, yeah, tell me how my brain feels right now, you know? No, that's not for me. But they MRI'd these people, looked at the scans for their brain, and when they did, they saw that this group that actually wrote down what they were grateful for rehearsed it so much in their minds that they had actually gone to the place where they put words to it. It changed the rewiring of their brain, where these folks that felt it but didn't say it or express it, or these folks that were in the negative side, it never changed them except for just simply leaving them in the place they were. If they wrote it down, if they really rehearsed it and thought through it enough, it began to change their outlook. And again, I say, this is what God's Word is telling us and has told us for years. So here's what we understand. That attitude of gratitude that we talk about is so important. And so let's go to our next slide here. And how many of you guys have seen, do y'all like the Geico commercials like I do? Y'all seen that one where they're looking out over the lake and the woman comes up and she's like, can you get out of my way, please? And she says, has the selfie stick, hi, fam. You know, she's got the huge, like, water jug or whatever. She's like, I'm out here, you know, practicing gratitude, manifesting abundance. Have y'all seen that? It's hilarious. I just gave you the commercial. Y'all go out and buy Geico or whatever it was. But, like, it's great because the world has caught on to the lingo. They've caught on to the lingo of, like, manifesting abundance and practicing gratitude and all these things. But my goodness, wouldn't it be a tragedy if we, as God's children, let them outdo us in the area of gratitude? I mean, wouldn't that be a sad day? You know, it's making the commercials, but it actually has to make it into your heart, and most of the times even out of your mouth, for it to really begin to change your life and the life of those around you. Because gratitude changes you, but it also changes others, and that's what we're talking about today. So here's this something to learn. If you guys were following along with that Chronicles passage, it's very important to know the setting of that. Because if you remember a few weeks back when we were still in our David study, Eric spoke a little bit about the returning of the Ark of the Covenant and how important that was. And it's all happening on our Something to Learn. And I just want to share with you very quickly about what we learned from that passage and its background. The setting of that passage is when the Ark of the Covenant returns to Israel after being lost to the Philistines in battle. And David is rejoicing. But notice this. He didn't just get happy himself. He looked at all of them and he said, now I want you to praise the Lord. And I've provided these singers so that they can lead us in this worshipful act of the Lord. So we can sing with our voices and your voices singing like to the Lord. So we are expressing to him how we feel about the grateful heart that we have in us because of what he's done. So he's not just simply grateful by himself, instead challenging people to participate. And David was a spiritual tide turner, and I talked about that a number of different times. That's my own term, and I can explain it real quickly. It means taking the temperature spiritually of a room, and when you walk in, it rises and it becomes a more of a spiritual experience than it was before you got there. That's being a spiritual tide turner, and many of you have that capability. There's no doubt in my mind, but you may or may not have embraced that role. David was a spiritual tide turner, and he uses praise and gratitude as his strategy to accomplish that turning of the spiritual tide in his situation. Also, by the way, that parallel passage is found in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Chronicles and Samuel just kind of mirror one another, but one has more details. That's why we went to the Chronicles passage. Let's go to our next slide. And let's talk about some of the biggest threats you have and I have to gratitude. Like, if we want to be more grateful, what are the things that are going to stand in our way? Let's talk about four of them very quickly. First of all, our default setting is broken. Okay? Sorry. I'm sorry. Your default setting is broken. You know how I know? Because my default setting is broken, too. We tend towards negativity. And I know we don't want to admit that. Right? But you do. But any of y'all want to come out on that limb that I'm on right now and just come on out a little? The water's fine. Come on. You tend toward negativity, and I do. You know how I know? Because if you post something online and you get 100 great comments, but you get one negative one, guess which one you're going to wake up thinking about? Right? And you could have something that you are loving the opportunity and the experience, and you have one maybe negative thing, and what are you going to talk about first? Probably the negative thing. So our default setting is to be negative rather than positive. It's to be ungrateful or kind of wrapped up in the negative part of the moment rather than be grateful for all that God has done to get us to that moment in the first place. Can we all agree on that? Can I get an amen? All right, y'all, you know the deal around here. If y'all don't give me a really good amen, then I'll just go back and start again, all right? So give me a better amen than that, right? We know our default setting is broken and our memory is short and getting shorter every day. Can I get an amen on that from the olds? Okay, so it is for me, and I forget. And I love what Chuck Swindoll said in that lesson from David. He said, you know, when it comes to the Lord, a lot of us remember what we need to forget and forget what we need to remember. And I think in our own world, in our own life, we tend to do that sometimes where the negative stays with us longer and the positive tends to leak out quicker. And so our default settings are kind of broken. So let's talk about this as we go on to our next slide. And I want to just share this. Gratitude that changes you is the kind of gratitude that focuses on the goodness of God, not the goodness of my situation in this moment. I'm going to say that again, and you guys can get ready with an amen if you'd like. Warning you. Gratitude that changes you is the kind of gratitude that focuses on the goodness of God, not the goodness of my situation in the moment. Amen? Because the truth is that God's goodness endures even through difficult situations. And here's what I know. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And even if it's bad at the end, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So it might be bad for a little while, but it's going to be great for a whole lot longer. And I don't want to get twisted up on that and get sideways with the idea of the difficulty that I'm facing and not remember that it is going to be okay because God is good all the time. And all the time, He is, right? Amen. All right, so let's go to our next slide here. So another big threat to our default setting is the default setting, but secondly, that busyness and distraction. And I've talked a little bit about that busyness and distraction and that idea that the world is throwing at us almost 11 bits of information at any one given moment. And we can only focus on 40 of them. You guys have heard me talking about that over the last couple of years. But what's so incredible about that is that if we can focus on those better things rather than the negative things, it will change us. But as the world comes at us at such an incredible rate and speed, it feels like we're skimming the surface of life, where the things that used to affect us deeper are not touching our heart the way that they used to, just simply because we're on overload. And so for you and for me, we have to find a way to stop the busyness and to turn down the distraction so we can actually do that whole thing that was on the Geico commercial, practice gratitude, right? Because the truth is it's coming so fast. Dangerous to your gratitude to live in our modern world. But you and I do have a lot more agency, a lot more power to turn that stuff down in our life where it's not at a blaring level, where we can slow that stuff down and allow ourselves to slow down a little bit as well. And that kind of brings us to the next slide here, unwillingness to pause the moment. In just a little bit, I'm going to show you a video that I think is absolutely phenomenal. It is one of my favorite videos. It's called The Thanksgiving Chair, and it is fantastic. I've shared it before, and I'm going to share it again. But here's part of the problem. We are busy, and we are distracted, and we can all agree on that. But we are the ones responsible for our lives. And if we want to be people who actually appreciate what God has done or is doing, usually what that means is turning down the radio, setting down the cell phone, taking a moment to maybe even pull over on the side of the road, taking a moment to push away the laptop, taking a moment to maybe take a walk outside at work where we're not distracted by everyone else and all the craziness that's happening. I mean, you and I can find a minute somewhere, but we've got to be the ones who take the minute. And if we will, it's an amazing thing to just simply know, be still and know that He is God. Not only is He God, but He is also good. And when He gives you something good and it hits you and then you're like, yeah, but I'm busy. Well, what's more important than taking a moment? And maybe even just simply saying, thank you, God. Now, I don't know if this is something that you'd be interested in doing or not. But recently, probably within the last 6 months or so, I found myself doing this. And I'm not saying the Pledge of Allegiance, but I am putting my hand on my heart and acknowledging that God is speaking to me, that I'm hearing from Him, that I'm recognizing a blessing that He has put into my life. And He knows what this means, and I know what this means, but it's just a way of acknowledging physically what's happening in my heart spiritually. And I would recommend maybe this to you, where the Lord speaks to you in the life is trying to, like, nudge you and kind of keep you flowing in the stream of what's happening in your life. But instead, you take a moment, let life keep going, but you stop, you slow down, and you say, I know that's you, and I'm grateful. It's not hard. You can do that. And you know what's weird? You can do that, and people won't even know what's going on. They may come and go, you having chest pains, Randy? I mean, you look like you're about that age, right? I don't know. I don't know what people are thinking. But here's what I know. It has been helpful for me to acknowledge and to slow down enough to actually engage with what God is doing in my life. These are the big threats to gratitude, the busyness, the distractions, our default settings being broken, but then that unwillingness to pause in the moment when we actually feel it. That's a problem that we can control. And then let's go to our next slide, if you don't mind. Selective memory and comparisons, and usually grossly inaccurate and unfair ones. And I just want to, I'm not going to go into this much further, but actually I'm just going to keep going. But I will just say that usually for us, and I even had a conversation with one of you guys, how many times we're not comparing our lives to somebody else's. We're comparing our lives to everyone else's. You know, it's not just that person took a vacation. It's that person did, and that person did, and that person did, and that person did, and that person did. Everybody's going on vacation but me. And truth be told, one person is going on one vacation. So is the next person. So is the next person. But you feel like everybody's going on multiple vacations except for you. You understand what I'm saying? And I've even said this before, that most of the time you don't want my life. You want my whatever. Hopefully my walk with God. I'd love for that to be true. But maybe my walk with God and their car and their vacation and their salary and their house and their kids. And so you're not comparing yourself to one person. You're comparing yourself to many, many, many people. and feeling like you're not measuring up. You guys with me? Y'all understand what I'm saying? So we've got to be very careful. And I had more to say there. I've run out of time to keep going. But here's what I do want to do real quick. Will you guys do me a little thought experiment? This is going to be so brave. I am so brave. I'm going to ask you guys to close your eyes with me in the middle of a Sunday sermon. This is usually where many of you fall asleep, but I'm going to ask that you not do that today. So here's what I want you to do, all right? Everybody get your hand. It doesn't have to be like anything other than just ready. And your eyes are closed. And you're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. And it's going to be good. And there's going to be food there. And you're going to be sitting there. And somebody is going to say it's time to eat. All right? Now, whoever that is, I don't know who that is. Maybe you're like, that's going to be Uncle Joe. All right, that's fine. You know, as Uncle Joe, maybe it's your mom, maybe it's your dad, who knows? Maybe it's you. But can you imagine for a moment, you're sitting there and it's Thanksgiving. And then somebody says, well, it's been a terrible year. It's been a really bad year. I mean, I can't wait for this year to be over. I guess the thing that I'm really thankful for is that this year's almost ending. And that's what I'm most excited about this year. So let's see. How you feeling? Or what if the second person speaks up and they say, you know what? It's Thanksgiving, and we all know what we're here for. Let's not forget it. Let's see. All right, so you've gone through two scenarios. But what if that third scenario, somebody says, you know what? God has been good this year. Doesn't mean that everything's been perfect. We've had some ups and we've had some downs. But here's what I know. God is in control. God is good. And whatever has happened or whatever is coming our way, we know that God will not only bring us through it, but he will bless us through it. And that is why we can be grateful no matter what. And God, thank you for not only bringing us this goodness today to eat, but also this wonderful family to share it with. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and all that you will yet do. Okay. Now, keep your heads bowed, all right? Some of y'all have nodded off. Somebody nudge them. So, do me a favor. Do you want to celebrate the first scenario, the second scenario, or the third scenario? Can you just tell me real quick, like with your hand right there? It's number three. Shockingly, all of you said number three. All right. Everybody wake up. Everybody come back. It's not that hard to do that, is it? But you probably, if you've had some rough celebrations, you might have even experienced some like the first or the second. So here's what I would say. As David says to those people there to celebrate that Ark of the Covenant coming back, he says, let's remember, let's tell, let's be grateful for, and let's praise and worship and give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. This is our big idea, real quickly. Here it is, our big idea. Gratitude changes my experience now and impacts others for years to come. Now, in all three of those scenarios, which one do you want your kids there for? Can you imagine? You have to pull your kids aside and we're like, that's not how we feel. That's not what we do. That's not what we say. When we celebrate Thanksgiving, we're not going to talk about all the negative. We're going to be grateful. You see what I'm saying? We need to change the temperature of the room. We are the spiritual tide turners. And we are the ones responsible. And you and I can do that. And praise and gratitude is our strategy for it. All right, let's keep moving here. Very quickly, let's go a little deeper in the passages of Scripture that we shared. First of all, let's talk about what is God's word on gratitude. First of all, that we remember God's work. Let's go to our next slide. What is God's work? In 1 Chronicles 16, notice two different places. He says, remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. And then in verse 15, remember his covenant forever, the word he commanded for a how many generations? 1,000. That's a lot. That's a lot of generations. So in other words, over and over and over and over and over again, we talk about what God has done and how he has worked in our lives. We do that not for our benefit alone, but for others to hear and our kids to learn about what God has done and how it changes things for us. Let's keep going to our next slide. And very quickly, his word on gratitude, consider God not working. Here's what I mean. You guys know I took a big old fall on the ladder this year. Y'all know what I mean? Y'all know that? I was about 17 foot above the ground, floor just like this one, stained concrete. I'm 17 foot above, and the ladder slides out from under me, and it comes down. Now, you can talk to my wife, and I don't know if it's tears of joy or tears of fear, but she will cry about this. And the thing is that, like, it could have ended so badly. I rode that ladder down, like, I didn't have time to think. I literally was already falling before I was thinking. Like, I was doing something silly, okay? I was singing. I was trying to be funny. And I was singing this song. And I was like, something feels weird. And then I was like, oh, I'm falling. Boom. That was how quickly it happened. And in the process of me not thinking at all, I grabbed a hold and I put my legs to the outside edge of the ladder. Now, here's why I share this story. If I would have grabbed the ladder this way, I'd have had 10 fingers, or at least 8, that were broken. If I had tried to stop myself this way, I would have had a leg that was probably snapped in half. Like, I could go through a lot of these scenarios about what could have happened. I didn't have any of those things happen to me. Do you see what I'm saying? Consider God not working. You get lucky on one thing, that's good. I'll go along with you. It may have just been luck. I would probably call it a blessing because that's my worldview. But you start talking about it could have been this, it could have been this, it could have been this, it probably should have been this, but none of these terrible things happened, and instead, the best possible scenario actually happened. That's winning coin flips over and over. You probably need to go buy a lottery ticket or say thank you to the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, for some of us, the best thing that we could do for gratitude's sake in our life is to realize how bad it could have been. And it was not, because God showed up. Can I get an amen on that? I mean, he keeps winning in your life. Coin flip after coin flip, you're winning instead of losing. And then you just go, wow, I'm lucky. Or you can say, wow, I have been incredibly blessed. And I am incredibly grateful and thankful for what you have done. You can do it either way. But one can change you and change others, and other ways do not. That's important. I want to show you this real quickly on this idea of doing my prophets no harm. As we go to our next slide here, from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 19 through 22, it says, when you were few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. In other words, Israel were the God tellers. Prophets is not just simply about what's coming, but sometimes just prophetically saying something about what God is doing. He is saying, don't touch those people who have my name on them. And in the process of all of this, he's saying, don't do any harm to them. And they're going from place to place to place to place to place. And over again, they're winning the coin flips. They're staying alive. Nobody's touching them. And let me tell you something. If you haven't put two and two together, I'm not getting into the Gaza-Israel thing. I'm not doing that. Like, thank you, but no thank you. But for them to exist as a nation is a testament that God has kept them alive when they should have been
done centuries and millennia ago. I'm just saying. So if you can see that he said, I'm going to keep you alive so that you can be a testimony of my power, not your own, but my power. I'm the one who keeps blessing you in ways that cannot even be numbered or named. That is God in your life and in mine. Don't miss it. All right, so let's go to our next slide. And real quickly, I want to share this. As a Christian in this world, you and I carry the responsibility and privilege of being a prophet, a teller of God's truth to the world around you. How you are in this world, how you react to the things that happen to you in this world, has other people going from you to the Lord. Now, can you imagine somebody like a missionary or a pastor being the most negative person that you know? That wouldn't fly. That wouldn't be good. Because they're supposed to be better. Well, guess what? As God's anointed children, as the prophet and the priesthood that he has called to be separate and to be different than this world, we have that same responsibility no matter who we are. So here's the question that I ask of you in the middle of this, as the next slide goes. You have to ask yourself this question: what are you telling others about being a follower of God with your words, with your actions, with your outlook, with your attitude? Because they're paying attention, probably more often than we are. So don't miss your opportunity. Okay, let's keep moving here, and we're getting close to closing this down. Make known his deeds among the people, in verse 8. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of his wondrous works, tell of his salvation from day to day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among the people. I get the feeling that God wants us to speak up and say some nice things about him when I read that idea. This man after God's own heart looks at us and says, speak up. If God is really who you believe in and who you worship, and if he truly has been this good to you, say something. And it shouldn't just be to no one. It should be to everyone and all that you can speak to. So if you look here, there's at least four different verses in this short verse of scripture that Paul read about how often that we're supposed to speak of his deeds to other people. It's not good enough to feel it. It's not good enough to believe it. It's not good enough to just simply hold it in our hearts. We have to speak about it and be a blessing. All right, so real quickly, let's go on to our next slide. This is our third thing that we tell others of God's work. This is so incredibly important. Now, I told you guys that this is one of my favorite movies, one of my favorite mini movies. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. But here's what I want you to do. This is called, I believe it's called The Thanksgiving Chair. And it is just so powerful in its imagery. Please pay special attention. And when you come back, I'll be the guy crying. Okay? Let's check it out. And because I'm a girl dad, I don't know, but that just always gets me. Here's a few big questions for you. Let's look at your own life. Where and how has God tilted the odds in your favor? Have you considered what could have been without God's part in your life and in your circumstances? Have you considered what his reasons are for bringing you through these things? And have you told anyone else about what God is doing? This is where you bring the things that have happened to you in your life into a place of gratitude. And into a place of change, not only for you, but for your children, and for the legacy that you want to leave. I love that video partially because of the father taking the child and sitting them in that chair. And if you think that kids are automatically grateful, you're not paying attention. Because you are not automatically grateful for your Heavenly Father's gift. Like I am not as well. And it can be very frustrating when you do give and it's not seen as a gift or the blessing that it actually is. We've all been there. We hate that because we know that this is a good thing and you've given it and there's not gratitude. You don't want your kids to be like that. But oftentimes we are the child of God like that. So we're intentional with ourselves. And we are intentional with the legacy that we leave to our kids, that they are taught how to be grateful, taught how these things are not automatic in your life. And if that is possible for you to do and see it for yourself, then turn around and teach your children and don't expect them to automatically be grateful. Because it's even harder for them to be grateful than it was for you and I to do so. Because this world is getting, in many ways, better. And yet, in many ways, much worse. You see what I'm saying? So let's be intentional about this. So I'm going to tell you the I apply by, and I'll have the worship team come on forward if you don't mind, guys. And so here's the I apply by. Be mindful of the time that you spend and the time that you actually take, the time that you make for yourself. You write it down. You can do that in notes in your phone or Evernote if you're a Google and Android person. You can text yourself. That's what I do when I have a thought that I need to remember. I text myself. You can tell it to someone else, and you can teach it to someone else. And teaching it is the best way to learn anything, isn't it? And so as you teach your children to be grateful, it has a way of wrapping back around and reminding you how important it is for you and I to be grateful. We don't need more to be grateful for. We just simply need to be more grateful. And I couldn't resist. The preacher in me said, take it, tell it, and teach it. So that's what that last part is. Okay. So oftentimes you guys hear from me. You guys who know me well know that this is a joint project in every sense of the word. The brains of this operation sits back there. She's real pretty and goes by the name of Shelley. I know she doesn't like this, but I wanted her to have the final word after this past year. So I'm going to read this to you, and I'm going to be crying throughout it as it goes, but it is what it is. Here's what Shelley wrote. It's been a good year. This past weekend marked the one-year anniversary of my cancer diagnosis. It's been a long year, but in many ways, it feels like just yesterday that this whole whirlwind began. I just finished chemo a few weeks ago and have some big follow-up appointments in the coming weeks, regular follow-ups over the next 5 years, but I'm feeling wonderful. I've been taking in some sunshine and long walks, both of which I love but have had to avoid all this past year. It's been a year full of doctor's appointments, blood tests, scans, surgeries, procedures, chemotherapy, and some heartache, fear, anxiety, and pain. And if my situation weren't enough, we throw in some additional excitement with Randy's latter fall that might should have killed him. I don't know if that's wishful thinking on her part, maybe. And his 3 spots of skin cancer found and removed. It's literally been the worst year of our life. And strangely, it's been a good year. I don't look back on this year with sadness. I look back and I see blessings and true miracles. Love from our family and friends. Peace in the midst of a crazy storm. I see so many times that the Lord directed our paths for the best possible outcome. And I see the sacrifices our family made for us to be here with us and for us. I'm thankful for our church family for providing meals after my surgery. My sweet work friends took up a donation to be a blessing. Some dear friends from miles away paid for cleaning services to tend my house the entire time I was on chemo for a full year. Some lifelong friends worked their tails off to help us pull off Tatum's wedding this summer while I was at half speed and Randy's fall stole time away. My sweet baby girls reached out to me regularly with intention and concern and love. It still brings tears to my eyes to remember that the Puckett, which is a big foodie clan, as you can see, changed the whole Christmas menu full of everyone's favorites put on hold and made it a vegan Christmas because I was trying to eat plant-based to give my body every chance to win this battle. So many instances of sacrificial love like this, and my heart is full. And my heart can't even contain the gratitude I feel for my husband. He's so sexy and so amazing. That's what I read. That's what I heard. If you're wondering, that's what goes on in my head with her. Only God can turn what should have been the worst and scariest year of our life into something beautiful. It's beauty from ashes. I don't know why the Lord chose to spare us both, but it's certainly not because we were more worthy than anyone else. I suppose He just has more work for us to do, and we're so grateful. Most of my story is chronicled in other posts, but I couldn't let this milestone pass without saying, thank you, Lord. I'm not worthy of the outcome. I'm so thankful that you have given me another chance. And thank you to all of our family and friends for the outpouring of the love and prayers along our journey. It has made all the difference. We love you all so much. We love you guys. God is good. Hard years don't mean bad years. It just means more opportunities for God to show up and for us to lean in to Him, His goodness, lean on you guys. We have done that. Y'all have been amazing. Amazing. And this song has got the words, all my life you've been faithful, and all my life you've been so good. All my life I've lived in the goodness of God. And you have too.
It's running out. It's running out.
Thank you so much, worship team. Let's end in a prayer. Maybe you'll just put your hand over your heart for a moment. I'm just introducing us, so maybe that might be your thing too. Heavenly Father, you've been so good to us. Lord, you've brought us through dark days. You've given us mountaintop experiences. For some of us, we have lived in victory. For some of us, it's been a hard, hard year. But wherever we find ourselves, we find ourselves at your feet, knowing that you are worthy of worship, that you are good, that we want to be grateful children of God, and we want to be faithful to tell not only this generation, but the one that is yet to come, of your goodness, your grace, your faithfulness, and your mighty works. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you have done, all that you are, dear God. We worship you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody together said, amen.